Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We have a very interesting show today. We have some Pastors to the Stars, folks that minister to celebrities, Hollywood people, and we're celebrating the release of a book entitled Redeeming the Screens. Redeeming the Screens, Living Stories of Media Ministers, Bringing the Message of Jesus Christ to the Entertainment Industry. And we have a big party today. We have about 7 guests on this panel, so this is really going to be interesting. I want to say at the outset, because we've had people asking about the show and whether it was longer today, and it is, those of you that followed this show from the beginning, we started as an hour show on 101.5 FM, and then I cut it back to a half hour because I just wasn't spending enough time with my family when I was doing an hour show every day. And so now I just do a half hour. But today, this really warrants a full hour. Some of the people in the book are not here, or they may not be here. One is Mel Novak, who has been ministering in the prisons over 20 years. He was a teammate of Roberto Clemente, who I made the movie about. We just had a wonderful visit in the hospital last Friday and hanging out and praying together. He's getting home from the hospital tomorrow, and I invited him to come on the show in the future once he gets settled back home. Also, for those of you speaking to Roberto Clemente, for those of you praying about Jamie Nieto, who played Clemente, who was paralyzed, Josie was on the show today, and I prayed with him at USC Medical Center. And last Sunday, I got to go to the rehab in Downey. He is getting movement back in his arms and legs, and we're grateful for all of your prayers. Thank you so much. So we're going to be back and get right into this book, Redeeming the Screens. We have all kind of wonderful people here. Josie Pollock is in the studio with me, Sherry Pettigo. We have Jean DeFazio, who put this all together, Leanne Pendergrass. We have Olga Soler, Gemma Winger, Charlene Eber. We have a whole bunch of people from the book, and it's going to be a really interesting hour. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in about 20 seconds at Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. And let's start, since you put this together, Jean DeFazio, tell us about the vision for this project and how everyone started to get involved with it. And then we'll have each one of you introduce yourselves one by one. Why don't you start, Jean, and tell us how this all started?
Well, thank you, Richard. It's a delight to be on the program today with the wonderful contributing authors that have made this book the exciting book that it is. My hat is off to each of you and every one of you who've come on the program today. Richard, I wrote, as Gemma knows, because she and her mom, Bea Byer, contributed to my former book, Creative Ways to Build Christian Community. I mentioned, except for Sherry and Leanne, who I didn't know at the time, I mentioned the other contributors because I had been in Hollywood working for Michael P. Grace II and working in his ministries with Susan Stafford, Ted Baer, Bob Yerkes, Mel Novak, people who were contributors, Bob Reese, but are not on the program today. And so the thought came to me, why don't I do a book and get as many of these people to do a contributing chapter? And what turned out to be a really challenging year of really brilliant right-brain people contributing, working with a scholar and an author in a seminary, we had to merge the two right and left brains to come up with something that was compatible with his stature, Dr. William Dave and Spencer, the co-editors, standards of authorship. It took 6 months for us to edit to do that, with people who, with exciting testimonies that we didn't want to change their writing style because we wanted them, the essence of the personality, to speak out. And so, Richard, I'm very grateful that you felt that we accomplished that. And I'm grateful.
Yeah,
I don't want to say no right now. Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, I am a novice as an editor, and I'm humble about that, but I'm grateful that, you know, that this book is moving the testimonies forward to bring people to the Lord. That's what
awesome.
We're here for. Yeah.
Well, let's take a chance to meet all our guests here. Why don't we start with Josie? Josie has had quite a background. How did you get involved, Josie?
Well, I ran into Jean at Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Praise and Worship Night. And then we re-met at Andrew Ramos. And I started telling her some stories about my life. And she said, oh, I want you to contribute to the book.
Mm.
That's how it started.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, Josie was almost killed by Charles Manson. She was friends with Sharon Tate and canceled at the last minute going over her house. So you've been a part of the Hollywood scene for a long time, huh?
I certainly have, yes.
Toured with Liberace?
Certainly did.
Wow, and you've been a chaplain. And for those of you, by the way, there's a great film on Josie's life. You have to see this film if you haven't seen it. It's called On Faith Alone. Just go to YouTube and put in Josie Pollock, On Faith Alone. And Sherry Pettigo's in the studio. How did you get involved in this project, Sherry?
I can only say it was the hand of God, because all glory is to God for everything that ever happens in my life, good or bad. I was coming back from Nashville, because I'd been in Nashville for 2.5 years. My mom had gotten sick, and that I don't even know if I touched on that book. I can't remember. But I was at Bob Yerkes' house, and Jean was there, and I'm a very private person, so this was very vulnerable for me to support. A lot of people don't know this. Even in my family, half the stuff that I've told in this book. So Jean just kind of brought it out of me. It was just one of those things. She said the Lord, she felt strong, and this was really the Lord to set this up. Because a lot of the people in the book, my life is intertwined with a lot of these people in the book. And it's just, that's how it happened with me. It was just the hand of God put me there.
And by the way, those of you listening, you can get this book, Redeeming the Screens, edited by Jean DeFazio and William David Spencer, and at Amazon, and it's on Kindle. Is Amazon the best place, Jean, to tell people to get the book?
Yeah, Amazon is a great resource, and I found the other day that Google Books has got it on sale. And, I mean, you know, if you go to Barnes & Noble or any distributor online, you just Google Redeeming the Screens, and I think at least 10 to 15 distributors come up. So people have their option.
Redeeming
it's available in Kindle, hardback, and hard copy, which means paperback. So it's
wonderful.
Available.
Well, let's go to some of our other ones then, too. How about you, Gemma? How did you get involved in the book?
Well, I met Jeannie DeFazio when I was in high school at the Catholic Church through Mr. Grace. She worked with Mr. Grace, and my dad was an avid Catholic, but he was moving toward the Catholic Charismatic movement as well as the Pentecostal movement, and my mom was a Protestant, a Christian, and my dad was very much into going to the prisons, helping the poor, helping those that nobody else wanted. And my mom was very much into the Hollywood scene. She had her own show, Cooking Around the World, that was syndicated in 13 cities, as well as the Bee Buyer Show, where she cooked and interviewed celebrities. So she was very much involved in Hollywood, the Southern California Motion Picture Council, so she brought the Lord into those arenas, whereas I had a very strong foundation in Christianity because my dad was going to be a Catholic priest. It didn't work out for him, but he did.
Well, I'm glad
really
because we want to have you here, Gemma, if that happens.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much. So, praise the Lord. It was just, you know, God putting people in our lives, uniting us together and making us stronger as one, and just knowing that people come from all different backgrounds and we're called to minister to them and walk in the fullness of the Lord.
Mm. Well, we're so glad you're here today. And let's see here. Let's go to area code 760, Charlene Eber. How did you get involved in this, Charlene?
In 1981, I had just given birth to my daughter and found out I had terminal cancer. And I owned a production studio in Beverly Hills, and Michael Grace came in to edit a video for Breathless Spirit Ministry. And during that session, my husband said, well, my wife has cancer. Well, he said she should go see Joanne Petronella. So off we went to Brea. Her ministry is now called Christ is the Hope of Glory. In Brea, California. Anyway, I went there. the lumps, they said, would land in the chest or the lungs, and they already had. I had lumps everywhere because it was in my blood. It spread everywhere. And she laid hands on me, and the lumps were gone. Now, as a Catholic girl growing up, I never knew anything about laying hands except in the Bible, and Jesus did it, you know. So this was part of Joanne Petronella and her daughter Michelle Corral were part of the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. So I, one day, in my living room, my whole living room turned bright white light, and I was visited by an angel, I believe, because a voice said to me, "Charlene, you're healed of cancer." And then the light left, and like I was trying to convince my oncologist that I was healed of cancer. I had a miracle, but he didn't, you know, he didn't believe me. But I knew I was, and from there I volunteered as a television producer, director, and my equipment, and my ex-husband, to go out in the missionary field with Joanne. And that was the beginning. I mean, I remember the first time laying hands. I mean, pointed at me and said, you go pray with those women. I'm like, what? And so I laid hands with women. They were barren. They couldn't have babies. And a year and a half later, this Jesuit was there, and like all these women were trying to hand him babies, talking in Chinese, and he didn't know what was going on. So it was the beginning of an incredible journey. I mean, cancer was probably the greatest opportunity of my life. Michael Grace and I became best friends. I had a message in the night that woke me up, a voice that annoyingly kept waking me up. And it was about that this world doesn't belong to us. We're really caretakers of the future. We have to make a difference. Now, I shared it with Michael the next day, and he looked at me and says, "We have to do something with this." I said, "Yes, we do." That was the beginning of our charity called World Alliance for Peace. And we were able to help 8 charities over the years. And many of the people in the book are related or connected to organizations that we did help. And we all became this huge family of ministering and being in the missionary field. It's the greatest joy of your life. If you can ever get to do it, it's phenomenal to have that anointing go through your body and come out your hands and someone's being healed. I mean, you're so humbled in the middle because it's not coming from you, that energy. It's coming through you. And Jeannie came on board a couple years in, and she became Michael's assistant. And we went to India together in the missionary field, and diplomatic things that we did. We actually initiated peace talks between Pakistan and India. And as a woman, I was not allowed in the Supreme Court. I had to sit on the bench outside because I was a woman. But Michael Grace and Major General Uben fulfilled what we came there for, because things were very tense and war may have been breaking out at that point.
There is a lot of interconnections I can see with this. Now, how about you, Olga, at 978? How did you get involved in this, Olga?
Hi there. Well, I'm very humbled to be a part of this, and I'm one of the East Coast representatives here because I wasn't involved in Hollywood. I was in the theater in New York at the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute and the Herbert Burkhoff Studio. I met Jean through a seminary. I am the director of Estuary Ministries, which is has turned into Leap Over the Edge, and it's Leap Over the Edge of Unbelief into the Arms of Faith. But I've traveled coast to coast doing arts, therapeutic arts, since I've become a believer. And work with people who have been abused or addicted to substances. Right now, I just finished writing and publishing a book called Tough Inspirations from the Weeping Prophet about domestic violence. And that's what I do. And Jean has been a wonderful inspiration to get me together with these awesome giants of the faith, and I'm just ever so grateful to the Lord, and that's my story.
Well, thank you, Olga. And last but not least, the lovely Leanne Pendergrass. How did you get involved in this, Leanne?
Oh, thank you so much, Richard. It's an honor to be on your radio broadcast today with all these precious, anointed women of God, and the story is so wonderful. you know, Jean is so precious, and through Bob Yerkes and Dr. Susan Stafford, the connection was made, and Jean was very encouraging about writing the chapter, and it's been prophesied of me for years that I would write books, and I just haven't sit down to start doing it. And Jean says, I believe you're supposed to write a chapter. And so we did, and I pastor a church in Hollywood, and I moved up from Orange County about 4 years ago to start this church, January 2012. And when I did, the Lord brought me into the media and brought me in a circle of new people. You know, being a pastor, you're usually around people that are just, you know, church folks, but God totally shifted me and brought me up to minister in the industry and to be a part of events that reaches people that don't always go to church. And so Jean was so inspirational and encouraging me to write the chapter, and it was a great honor. And I'm so thankful to be on this call today to be a part of this great team.
Well, thank you for joining us, Leanne. There's a quote that really hit me in the book. It's actually from you, Josie. It's on page 71 of the book. I believe that, and Leanne actually just mentioned this, which is reaching out to other people outside the church. It's page 71. Josie says, I believe that Hollywood needs missionaries more than Africa does. African Christianity is strong and thriving, but people in Los Angeles are very self-centered, and they are so into money and fame, and they're into all these things that are really unimportant in the divine scheme of things. So this idea of, you know, I want y'all to think for a moment about this, and I'd like to hear some of your reactions, thoughts, and feelings about the idea that I had the chance to meet Mother Teresa years ago, and she said that the poverty in India is very obvious. It's a poverty of needing food and hungry to feed your belly, but the poverty in big cities like New York and Los Angeles and the cities in America is a spiritual poverty. Does Hollywood, does the media need missionaries as much or more than other countries? Why don't you speak first to this, Josie, since it's your quote, and elaborate. And I'd like to get the reaction of any of the rest of you to this idea of being a missionary to this area.
Well, a lot of people come to the Lord when they're in dire circumstances and they're needy. In Hollywood, if you're depressed and bored, you can afford to go out shopping, and that fills the hole in your heart for the minute. Mm-hmm. Plus, obviously, drugs are involved too. And, you know, Robert Downey Jr., who I met in the jail.
So you ministered to him in jail and talked with him, didn't you?
Yes.
And he was nice to you. You might not have been receptive right away, but he was a little funny at first, but then
he was.
You won him over.
He said, I'm tired of people trying to push Jesus down my throat. So I didn't then preach at him. I talked about my life. And by the time I left, he said, thank you for coming here. Thank you for the light I see in your eyes. Mm. And one day, maybe I'll come to your church. And the next time I saw him was at Tim Story's Hollywood Bible Study.
Wow. Isn't that something? Now, how about the rest of you? And
you know, I was thinking about...
Who is this?
This is Olga. Olga?
Yes, Olga. Yeah, what do you want to say
I was
about
thinking
the place
about...
being a missionary?
Yeah, I was thinking about that just today, actually, because, you know, there are many, you know, a lot of things are coming to us about the wonderful work that Indigenous people are doing in their own countries now. And they are getting a clue that we are the ones that need the help now.
Wow.
That the Western world needs the help now. And basically, I mean, it costs a lot more money for us to support a missionary from Europe or from America in a third world country, but it's a lot less money to support an Indigenous minister. So that being said, the people who are in these countries right now need to start learning how to minister to the people who they live with and who are in this country, the needs of this country. And I mean, it's going to be tricky. It is very tricky. And the media is going to definitely be key in how we reach people. But because we're so media minded here. But we have to find a way to minister to the people here, because not only do they need it, but the money is here too, the money that the rest of the world needs to be able to spread the gospel. And yeah, it's our mission field, and we need to do it.
Yeah, I met a guy here in Hollywood, and he was wanting all this money to go to another country to be a missionary. And I said to him, you're not sharing the Lord with anyone here in Hollywood or Los Angeles. You're not doing anything now. There's no magic in a plane ride over to another country. You have to be doing that. And now, the rest of you, any of the rest of you have any thoughts and feelings about this idea that Hollywood needs a missionary as much as Africa?
Well,
we got two of you. Who were those two?
Gemma.
Gemma, and who was the other one?
Charlene.
Yes.
Charlene. Okay, why don't you go first, Gemma, and then we'll go to Charlene, since we were both coming in at once. Go ahead, Gemma,
okay,
and then we'll go to Charlene.
Well, I really thought about the scripture, Revelation 3, verse 13, when you asked that question. It says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that's what we see in Hollywood. We see the wealth, the cars, the money, the fame, and they think that they have everything and that they think they are in need of nothing. They don't need anything, but really, in reality, as far as spiritually, they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You look inside their hearts, and if they don't have the Spirit of the Lord, they're really poor. And the greatest thing of all is to be rich spiritually and to have the Lord's joy and his peace, that they have filled, you know, that void in their heart with, as Josie said, stuff, shopping, and the world. I know in my neighborhood, you know, it's all about the Rolls Royces, you know, and I've never seen so many Rolls Royces in my neighborhood as I do now. And it's just, you know, you have a choice to buy a big expensive car or to help people who are less fortunate than you are. So it's like, where are our priorities? And especially in Hollywood, the priorities are in the wrong place, and Hollywood is sending out television shows that are promoting this idea that wealth and riches is godliness and gain, is where you're at, is the pinnacle of success, when really that's a lie from the enemy.
Are we talking about the Kardashians?
maybe.
Or maybe that some of the evangelists, too. I've heard some of these evangelists that say, sow a seed and make Jesus your choice and you'll get your Rolls Royce. Hallelujah. Well, how about you,
That's
Charlene?
Right.
You said that you wanted to weigh in on this idea of being a missionary to Hollywood.
Well, I owned a studio at one point for 12 years in Hollywood, and we had the Hollywood Bible study there, and a lot of people from the entertainment industry came. And it was a great opportunity, and Joanne conducted the Bible study. And also in Beverly Hills, where I lived, I was involved with many, many charities over 35 years. And, you know, people have an assumption about those that are wealthy, but I will say that these socialites in Beverly Hills and Hollywood, that they are very committed to their charity work and do make a big difference. They're not just about shopping. They do donate a lot of money to help the poor and the hungry and the homeless and drug addicted and different programs. I mean, we fundraise for so many things. I never said no to any charity that asked me. So I wouldn't say everyone is lost, because there are so many that are out there really trying to help others. And even in the book, you know, my advice to anyone, even if you can't afford to start a ministry, you can make a difference in any town, village, or city. You just minister one person at a time, whether it's, you know, someone looking sad in a drugstore, a grocery store, wherever you go, you can lighten their heart and remind them God loves them. Have a great day, may your day go quickly, and get off work. But I mean, it's about being connected with humanity wherever you go. And there's a lot of good people in Hollywood and Beverly Hills that were involved with a lot of charity. And the Hollywood Bible Study grew, and it was a lot of people that came to the Lord, went out. And even with Joanne's ministry, I mean, there must be 100 different ministries that grew out of just that ministry, went off and started their own missionary and ministries. And so it's about every little thing you do does make a difference, because it's like praying forward, you know, it just continues and grows. So, yeah, there's a lot of wealth, and there's a lot of runaways that come there looking to be movie stars and all that, but they find their way, and God just does send them to the right doors. I mean, even, you know, I did drug and alcohol counseling 17 years of my charity work, and I got to tell you, half the movie and television industry is involved in a 12-step program. Very famous people, and it's very anonymous, and gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations in their lives when they share with you and you minister to them. And it does make a difference. And there are a lot of organizations and networks and charities that are doing a lot of great work in Hollywood and Beverly Hills. And so
that's really good to know. How about any of the rest of you want to weigh in on this idea of being a missionary to Hollywood? Let me make sure you're all... Let's make sure we have so many lines here. We'll make sure they're all working. Anyone else out there that want to comment on this?
Can you hear me, Richard?
Yeah, who is this?
Hello?
Leanne? Leanne?
Yes.
Is that Leanne?
Yes.
That was
yes.
Leanne.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Leanne.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to share, when I came up here from Orange County, in 2014, the Lord blessed us to do an anniversary service at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, but we started the ministry and we did a monthly Bible study there for 7 years. And God, you know, repositioned us up there to reach Hollywood. And I didn't even go to movies, so I didn't really know what was going on. But the Lord, you know, sometimes He'll repot you to be a light of a lighthouse of faith, hope, and love. And that's what He said. And He sent us up there, and we started the meetings there at the Hilton. And one thing the Lord showed me is you can't, you know, judge people and minister to them at the same time. So we had to walk in love. And so God opened the door up for Mama Shirley Bean to speak at our anniversary service. And I saw, you know, the hand of God moving to bring the church and the industry together so we could reach, the fivefold ministry could reach Hollywood. And, you know, you really have to have a calling to do that, because not all pastors are going to go in and minister to people outside the four walls of their church. But this turned out to be an awesome gathering, and there were people from all backgrounds there. And that started something that God showed me. He wanted us to reach people that were not reachable. And so in 2012, February 11th, we were at the Beverly Hilton Hotel having a service there when Whitney Houston passed away. We were actually there in the hotel, you know, having church and worship.
So you were having church
so
in the hotel when she passed away at that same hotel, Beverly Hills Hilton, right?
Right, the Beverly Hills Hilton
wow.
Hotel.
And then
God
her daughter died much the same way, didn't she?
She did. She actually did, yeah. It was really very sad. Wow. But, you know, I think, you know, God has called us to be, you know, to participate, to go into the areas to reach people and love them and pray for them and just be real, you know. And I wanted to interject that, because God is moving in Hollywood, and there are souls being saved, and there's people coming to Christ. And I know that there's always the dark side, but there's always the light side, the power of God working through people. Like every person on this phone call, Gemma and Cherry and all those on here right now, all participate in sharing the gospel to Hollywood, and we've been able to minister to people that no one would ever know about, you know, kind of secret prayers and going in and ministering kind of undercover. But God is moving, and I wanted to interject that.
That's awesome. Speaking of Whitney Houston, Sherry Pettigo here has sung with a lot of, you know, well-known artists, The Temptations, Patti LaBelle, Toto, Billy Davis, Marilyn McCoo that she mentioned. You've prayed for stars, Sherry, on the red carpet. What's your thoughts about ministering to these kind of, you know, well-known singers and people in Hollywood?
You know, I just try to show love. And as I'm sitting here, that song come to me, What the World Needs Now is Love. And, you know, Muhammad Ali just passed away, and this hits home with me very strongly. My second cousin, Howard, who I speak of in the book, gave me one of my first jobs ever in radio. And Muhammad used to call the station all the time and talk to Howard. They grew up boxing together. And Howard wasn't a believer. And you know, he was always trying to get me to go down to Nashville when I was 18 to sign a record deal in country music. But I was always talking about the Lord. And believe it or not, he owned a Christian radio station along with the country.
Muhammad Ali did?
No, my cousin Howard, second cousin. He's second. He was a lot older. He was my dad's age, older than my father, actually. But him and Muhammad Ali grew up boxing together. And he was always in media and promoting and doing all this stuff on TV. And but, you know, his son, Ali Jr., called me up yesterday morning, and I'm one of the few people who he'll even speak to. But you know what? Even though he's Muslim, he knows that he can trust me. Mm-hmm. And what he says to me, it does not go outside the door. And some things that I know I could never say, but you know, it's about trust. When people trust you, they follow. They may not say it,
mm-hmm.
but they will follow that, because what people look for is something they can believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't see honesty, truth, and love in everything that we do, then where are we leading them? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the guy in Switzerland when I was over there performing. I didn't know who this band was, you know, but the lead guitar player, one of the biggest rock bands, and I mean hard rock, come up to me with tears in his eyes. He got the most beautiful angelic voice I've ever heard. And said, "In your lyrics, have touched my heart." And they did speak English. They sang in English. And that introduction at that restaurant in Switzerland put me on a record that went huge. But it was only because I shed the love of God in that lead singer's life, who was burnt out, by the way, when the lead guitar player introduced me to Steve. And little did I know, a year later, he'd be killed in an accident. But God put me there to sow that seed in his life, and they called that record Need to Believe.
Mm.
And it went triple platinum twice, and it even ended up, this one of the songs on the record, and I told him, I said, if you honor God on this record, God will bless you to be the biggest selling record of your career, and it was.
Mm.
And it's only because I just went in and sowed the love of God in it. And, you know, my treasures may not be on this world, but I'll tell you one thing, my treasures are huge in heaven, because I will see those people in heaven, and I will see my second cousin who just went before Muhammad Ali did 2 months prior. They are both now, they're united in spirit. You know, I have to believe that the seeds I sowed didn't go in vain.
Yeah, this is Sherry's hitting on a big issue here of trust, and I think this is so important, because I've seen some ministers exploit ministry to celebrities, and I had one of the biggest pop stars in the world call, needing ministry, going through a breakdown and all kind of things, and the money that National Enquirer and some of these people want for to spill the beans, I would never do it, and this person called up here and just said, I just need to hang out with some people and maybe some Christians and dance. And my daughter, who just was in the studio, I said, so-and-so needs a nice Christian woman to hang out with and do dance. And Karis went down there. And within about a week, Dr. Phil, who kind of maneuvered his way into the room, exploits it the next day and telling all these personal things about this person for ratings. And so, like Sherry said, and we're at our halfway break, what they need is love and someone they can trust. Now, by the way, you want to send in a question, you can email it to Richard Rossi Live right now at Gmail, Richard Rossi Live. You can text Richard Rossi Live at Gmail, or you can text to this number, 818-850-5915, any questions, 818-850-5915, or you can call in and join this party line live at the phone number, 347-637-2379, and we'll be back in just a few moments to take a look maybe at some of the questions coming in. What? That's right, love for everyone. That's the love of God. God so loved the world. Well, we're back, And we've been talking to some ministers to Hollywood. The book is Redeeming the Screens. It's available on Amazon, Google Books, all over the place. Redeeming the Screens, Gene DeFazio. And we have a bunch of guests on here. There is a unique price when you're a famous person, when you're an artist. In fact, Josie and I here wrote a song entitled The Price of Fame. Can you stand the price of fame when everyone knows your name? I'd like to address that because every mission field has its unique challenges. What are the pressures for famous people? One of the women in our group, Eternal Grace, in our ministry here in Hollywood, is a psychiatrist, has ministered to a lot of these famous people, and she said, Richard, very few people understand the pressures, the price of fame, of being a very creative individual. Josie, you know, were engaged to Elton John's drummer, was it?
Right.
Right, and you toured with Liberace, who was a gifted entertainer, passed away, unfortunately, from AIDS-related illness. Maybe you could start us on this, and anybody else that wants to jump in, what are the pressures, what are the challenges of being famous, the toll that it takes, or being just a creative individual, and maybe any of the rest of you that also would like to take a turn and address that aspect, because it's a whole different pressure when you walk down the street and people are pulling at your shirt and sign this and judging every little thing you do.
I always remember sitting in the limo with Elton, and the fans were sort of banging on the window, and somebody said, I just want to be a person with you. You know, it's... And then it was this girl that used to write, and if you didn't know better, you would have thought they were in love and having an affair. And I was watching BET Awards the other night, and Smokey Robinson, first of all, he opened up saying, I want to thank my Father in heaven for giving me the gift music. And then he talked about celebrities that are idolized by the masses, but they don't know these people. And he said, unfortunately, celebrities get too self-involved. And he gave a beautiful speech. And I know Smokey loves the Lord. I used to go to Bible studies at his house. But, yeah, when I was on tour with Elton John, I wasn't walking with the Lord. So I don't know what example I gave.
Although I like when you started wearing the crosses and when you got strong in your faith. And Elton was very funny what he said about your crosses.
Yes, I went to a concert and I was wearing all these crosses. And he said, what, are you afraid of vampires? And then we went back to Bernie Taupin's house. And we ordered hamburgers, and I go, which one is mine? And Elton goes, the one with the cross on it.
He had a great sense of humor.
A wonderful sense of humor. And, you know, they always said I knew so many celebrities, they wanted to buy my phone book. And when I got saved, I wrote a letter to the office, and I said, I've just met the biggest celebrity in the world. His name is Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and I can give you his number.
That's right. Jeremiah 33:3 is the number. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things. The rest of you, this issue of the pressures of being famous, of being a creative artist, what it does to people, how hard it can be for some people, who else would like to comment on that today? Any of you that are on with
would,
us, feel free
would.
To weigh in here.
It's Charlene Eber, and I would, because
hi,
I've ministered and counseled to many celebrities and people in the entertainment industry, and there are a lot of extreme pressures. When movie deals through, they have a lack of privacy. When they get to greater heights, there's more pressure in their marriage with infidelity, and things fall apart. And then they have to start over. And it's all over the media. They have no privacy, and they need time to heal. And they work so hard. There's so much stress and demands on them. And a lot of people forget the one common factor is they see them as big stars and celebrities, like something different. And the fact of the matter is, human beings, just like everybody else, they go through hardships just like everybody else. And When you relate to people, it's on a humanistic level. You're talking to another human being that's in distress, and you're comforting them, and gaining their and loving them and letting them know God loves them and God is with them and they can get through anything because all things are possible to God. You know, nothing's impossible with Jesus Christ. And you bring that into the lives to help them get through it, to heal in a lot of the hardships they go through. And they find their way, and it is a comfort. Yeah, there are more people at the top than celebrities, but you can't. You just can't.
Yeah, that's so true. And now we haven't heard from Gemma in a while, or Leanne, or I think Jean in quite some while. Are any of you want to weigh in on this issue of the pressures of fame, being an art, highly creative individual?
Well, I think that, you know, man judges the outward appearance and God judges the heart, and people can look at the outward appearance and judge you and have so many opinions and make their opinions known, but they don't really know who you are deep inside as a person. And it's such a pressure, people talking about you, and it may not be true. And there are so many opportunities that come your way. I mean, on a very small scale, you know, I hit 5,000 Facebook followers, and I have people, you know, why didn't you respond to me? You know, you're so stuck up. Or, you know, the Lord just blessed me with just a wonderful car for free for a season, and all of a sudden everybody is just like, oh, you know, that's wrong and blah, 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 blah. You can't have that wonderful car. And really it was the blessing of God, and it was for free. So people see you and they see something that they like and they're interested in, so they pull you apart and they tear you apart, and it's not necessarily the truth. And a lot of times people come from their own viewpoint and they really don't understand where you're coming from. And I know, like, true fame, somebody like Justin Bieber or somebody who has the masses, even, you know, famous people in Christendom like Jan Crouch or Matt and Lori Crouch, you know, they have so many people who want to get to them and reach them, and they can't get back with everybody, so everybody has their own opinion about them, whether it's true or not true. So I think it's so important to be rooted and grounded in Christ and know who you are in Him and what He thinks about you, and truly know your heart, where your heart is, because so one of these people on Facebook, I said, you know, you must be ministering to somebody else because that's not who I am. And so it's really being rooted and grounded in Christ, that you're not going to be moved by people's opinions, and you're going to be directed by the Lord and guided by the Holy Spirit.
That's such a great point, because some of the celebrities I know that are on the tabloids a lot, they said they got to the point they couldn't even, you know, go look at those tabloids in the store. It's just too upsetting. They have to just shut that all out. Madonna doesn't even make eye contact sometimes walking in public because it doesn't want to get into that. We have a question coming in, Robert in New York. The impact, how do we make sure that we're impacting the world and not just preaching to the choir? The book sounds interesting, but I noticed that many Christian movies are marketed in the church and pretty much exclusively Christians see them. Many Christian meetings are pretty much Christians going to them. How do we make sure we are reaching the larger world and not just talking the Lord this, Jesus this to all the believers? Very great, great question. Who would like to weigh in on that?
I will. This is Jean DeFazio. And from my experience, especially when I organized events for Michael P. Grace II, we held a testimonial luncheon at very high-profile places in New York City for Mr. Grace's peers. He was an elitist, a man from a famous family, the Grace, W.R. Grace Company family. And so I would organize events, and people on his social level, some of them celebrities he knew because he also produced in on Broadway, would attend his meetings, and there was a comfort zone because they were meeting with their own people. Now, one of the wonderful things, Bob Reese is not on today, but Bob Reese Media Fellowship International has celebrities and entertainment people ministering to entertainment people. So there's a comfort zone to the non-Christian, because at least they understand if they're in the stunt world like Bob Yerkes or Susan Stafford, who was on Wheel of Fortune, who understands fame very well, that they are talking to someone immediately who understands their circumstance, as well as Josie Pollock understands fame. She was the hula hoop queen before she married a world-famous magician. So the beauty of much of this ministry, to respond to, is it Robert's question, is that many of these ministries in this book are not preaching to the choir. They were people who were not Christians, who by the grace of God found Jesus. He forgave them, turned their life all around, and as the book conclusion states, on the other side of forgiveness, they serve the Lord by going out and reaching the people on the highways and byways and saying, I understand where you're at. I want to tell you what helped me. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure very did. Well, and also, you mentioned Susan Stafford. I really enjoyed in her chapter the part about ministering to Rock Hudson at the end of his life, who was such a great actor, through all those Doris Day movies and Macmillan and Wife and all those things he did, and was one of the first that came out with AIDS. And the way that she, you know, was with him that final year of his life and supporting him and praying with him and all that is a great example of that. The rest of you think that's a fair or unfair criticism? I might disagree with some of you and say, I think Robert has a point that a lot of times Christians are just talking to other Christians, and we need to intentionally, like for instance, on this radio show, I started on Christian, a big Christian audience, and I've changed the show. I have a lot of celebrities on. I don't just talk religion. And now our audience is about 60% or more not Christian. And I've had to really change my life. Most of my Facebook friends are not coming from the evangelical world, but I had to very intentionally get out of the subculture and do some changes so that I was still relevant to people outside the Christian subculture. Josie, you want to say something about this?
Yes. It sounds like I just hung out with celebrities. But the fact is, I was a chaplain in county jail, and I've reached the lowest of the low.
Yes,
I used to call my ministry Hope for the Hopeless and Love to the Unlovable. And believe me, I would have the toughest guys come into my office full of tattoos. And when the Spirit of God touched them, they would break down in tears like little babies. So, yes, I was in the concrete jungle. I was a missionary there. So, yeah, I hung out with rock and roll royalty and British royalty. But I also went, as Matthew 25 says, I went into the prisons to the people that others have given up on.
Yes, when I was in prison, you visited me. How about the rest of you? Do you think there's any validity to what Robert's saying, that there's a danger that Christians end up talking exclusively to each other a lot of the time? And how do we make sure that we're sharing the love and healing power of Jesus with the larger world? Any of the rest of you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, Charlene Eber. I remember being in the missionary field, and there were people lined up that we were ministering to till 2 o'clock in the morning. They were Hindus, Buddhists, and Christians, and they were receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They were having an experience they never had the opportunity to have, and they were being taught about how God loves us and Jesus loves us, and that we can reach out for help in all they're going through, because we're dealing with some of the poorest of the poor, you know, in the Philippines, in the jungles, and in Singapore, in the jungles, and in India. I mean, these people were not all Christians. I mean, anywhere I go, I mean, right now I'm ministering with a Jewish girl, and she's praying with me and saying, Amen, you know, and I'm saying in Jesus' name, Amen, and she's agreeing in prayer. So we are, if you read the book, because I know most of the people in the book on this journey, and you'll realize that they've been all over the world and all over this country, ministering to people of all religions and faiths, and the poorest of the poor. I mean, homeless shelters with food banks, with all churches involved, they don't care what religion people are. They're there to minister and help them and guide them and counsel them and love them and give them hugs and remind them that God is with them and Jesus loves them. And it goes a long way, because what religion there doesn't matter. We're all children of God. We have to love everybody. And that's...
Amen. And by the way, some of you are asking about the book, so let me give the title again, Redeeming the Screens, Living Stories of Media Ministers Bringing the Message of Jesus Christ to the Entertainment Industry. Redeeming the Screens, put in the author, editor, Gene, J-E-A-N-N-E, C, DeFazio, D-E-F-A-Z-I-O. Gene did a wonderful job collecting this and editing this along with William David Spencer. It's interesting, today someone sent me a thing, the LA Weekly, it's 6616, and there was a little blurb about Satanists having a meeting, because this is 6616. It was only a dozen or so of people in this satanic group, and I think it might have been a publicity stunt, but it brought up a question for one of our listeners. Victoria asked, do you think Christians are sometimes too focused on the devil or evil? And I want to throw that question out, because this was only a handful of alleged Satanists doing a publicity stunt, but Christians got all worked up and were kind of sending this thing and going viral that the devil's under attack and we're going to do this. Is there a danger in becoming too focused on the evil and on Satan rather than staying Savior conscious instead of Satan conscious? Do any of you have any thoughts about that whole thing? We had a girl show up at our ministry one time, very Pentecostal girl, and she was talking about the enemy almost stopped me from getting here. It didn't make my alarm clock didn't go off, and then the enemy had my tire get a flat, and then the enemy, blah, blah, blah. And I had a guy here that wasn't a Christian, and he said, Richard, we need to, you know, go confront this guy that's harassing this poor girl. And he said, who is this guy? Do we need to get a restraining order? Do we need to call the cops? I said, no, it's the she's talking about the devil is after her. And he said, the devil? He said, but Richard, you told me that the devil's defeated, that Christ defeated him on the cross, and why is she making the devil more powerful than God? And I thought, wow, wisdom out of the mouth of a guy that's not even a churchgoer. But what do you guys think? Is there a danger of administering to a culture that coming across as you Hollywood people are all evil and, you know, that sort of thing, and focused on Satan rather than the Savior? What are your thoughts on that?
I have some serious thoughts on this subject.
Absolutely.
Because when I first came into, now I've been a Christian since I was 12, but I walked into more of the full gospel movement at the age of 18, and I got a little overboard with it. And so I will say I was a victim of being that person who gave the credit to too much of, like, oh, he's in my room at night, you know, I'm just craziness, because I was hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that thought got in my head, then all of a sudden I was, like, being paranoid. If I got too close to the Lord, then the devil's going to chase on my footsteps and knock me down. So I was constantly feeling that. But, you know, the Word of God says, let your mind be on these things, good thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and things of high and worthy praise. And we are to walk in a place, not then be wise. You know, there that is out there in the world, and but greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. And if we give credit to that and talk about that and magnify that, then we attract that in our lives. But we are not to attract that in our lives, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And love conquers all things. And, you know, if anything comes against us, no weapon of any dark person or dark thing or thought can prosper against God's anointed, which we are, because we are called according to his purpose and his plan. And nothing can come against us. So we are covered by the blood. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. And we put on that full armor of God. A full armor. What is a full armor? It's his word. What is the full armor of God? What are we carrying to this world? Are we carrying his light and his full armor with power? Or are we walking out there defeated? I'm not walking out there defeated. I'm walking out there in the fullness of what God has put on my life. And yes, we all are subject to attacks, but greater is he that is in us, and we have to stand on his word, and that's what I have to say about it.
And he's given us all power and authority.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We just plead the blood of Jesus over us. The devil cannot
that's
touch
right.
us.
That's right.
No powers or principalities can penetrate that blood.
I want to say something regarding Leanne Pendergrass, who's been such a light in my life. She's on with us today. And I will say this woman walks in love. She has no fear. That woman will walk out in the streets of Hollywood and hi in that sweet spirit of
yes,
hers. And let me tell you, and every demon that could even think to attack her would just have to fall under like a little putty because she's so sweet and she carries that love and light of Jesus so
yeah.
powerful in her walk, and she's so true to her walk. She walks in love, and more than it's been such an example to me to see him with the love that she walks in, and where God's taken her and putting her with Shirley Boone and Pat, and they do that their prayer together, and she's God has taken her into some powerful places because you know why? He can trust her with his anointing.
Yeah. And like Francis of Assisi said, do everything to spread the gospel, and if necessary, use words.
Yeah.
Too many people are bashing people over the
That's
head
right.
with the Bible.
That's right.
And that does not work. It turns them off of Jesus. Just love them and let his spirit draw them in.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, they're giving me a sign. We only got a couple minutes left. So let's take a moment to sign off and give a final word and let, you know, each of you take a moment. And if you want to give any contact information and any final words, why don't you start, Josie?
All I can say is Jesus loves you. That's all I can say. And just trust in him. And don't let the spirit of fear overcome you. Because we're not given a spirit of fear.
Sherry?
Well, I think I said a lot there in that last one, so I'll give people a chance. But Sherry Pedigo, Sherry Pedigo. I'm Chapter 7, Flight of the Butterfly. It tells a very vulnerable story of my life. And you can reach me. You can Google my name. You'll find me. I'm online, and I'll help you find Josie. I'll be your manager, Josie.
Oh, great. Now, Jean, how about you? Maybe let us know one more time where to get the book and everything.
Great. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The book is available. It was published by Wiffenstock, WIPFSTOCK. You can go online to Wiffenstock. You can go on Amazon. Redeeming the Screens is available on Amazon. If you Google, if you put Redeeming the Screens in a search engine, there are any number of distributors. And all these wonderful contributing authors will have copies that they can make available to you.
And
so
I want to
you
thank
have,
you, Jean, for being a catalyst because, you know, you were the single catalyst that brought all these stories together. Good job. Take a bow.
And she did
oh, well,
it all living
heart.
Out of the suitcase. Bless her
yes,
heart.
Yes, that's my biggest story. I stayed at Gemma's. I stayed at Bob Yerkes in a trailer. That's how I met Sherry. That's how I saw Leanne Pendergrass's picture on Bob's refrigerator and put her in the book. So, you know, God works in mysterious ways. So,
and Bob
bless
Yerkes
you all.
Is such a pillar in the world of the stunt world. If you don't know who he is, I recommend Googling Bob Yerkes, Yerkes, and read his chapter. What an amazing, he's 84. What an amazing journey.
Oh, wow, we're getting down to the second. So Sherry mentioned Leanne Pendergrass and that sweet spirit of hers. Leanne, how can people reach you? And any final words you have?
Thank you so much, and I'm honored to be on here. I love you all so much. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Jean. All of you on here, Gemma, Charlene, everybody, thank you for the privilege of being on. And my website is mygatheringplaceinternational.com. It's the best way to catch up with us. Thank you again, and just know that Jesus loves you. Give him your life and surrender all to all those listening.
Oh, thank you, Leanne. And the woman who is a gem, her name is very aptly chosen for her, Gemma Winger. How about you? Any final words and contact information? You still there, Gemma?
Guess not.
Oh, Gemma's still
sorry.
There.
Yes, sorry. I just want to thank you for inviting me on your show. You are such an incredible actor. If people haven't seen you acting, you're phenomenal. So I just want to throw that out there. And I just want to
thank you, Gemma.
I just want to thank Jeannie DeFazio. She is brilliant to deal with all of us in the book, all of our personalities. It was just, you know, so very detailed and such intricate things going on, and she just pushed it forward with her giftings that were given to her by the power of God. If you want to get in touch with me, my website is gemmawenger.com. If you need me to spell my name, G-E-M-M-A-W-E-N-G-E-R. And just that whoever the Lord brings you to, just minister to them with all your heart and be faithful in the little, and God will give you much. And if you start at the bottom, God will raise you up to the top. So just continue to stay humble, and God will do great and mighty things that greater than you could ever ask for, think of, or imagine.
Yes, and by the way, speaking of media ministry, that's how I met you, Gemma, was a friend of our ministry. Mario was flipping the dial and saw Gemma on TV. He said, "Richard, you're going to love this girl. You've got to check her out." And I ended up, Gemma ended up being a star of our documentary about Amy Simple McPherson, because I wanted to show a woman in today's culture trying to do what Amy did, a young woman out there ministering. And you were so great in our film, Saving Sister Amy. I'm sorry I got you in trouble, though. I got you because Gemma said she wasn't quite sure about some of Amy's story. And I said, Gemma, I guess Gemma got some people in that were not too happy about that, but you were great.
Well, you can never get in trouble when you speak the truth and you speak from your heart and you discern the Spirit by the Holy Spirit and the power of God. So I stand by the truth.
Yeah, he spoke the truth in love. And last but not least, Charlene, any final words or contact information you'd like to share?
I agree totally with what the last two women had said before the closing here. And to remember, even if you're not a minister, that we have authority over all demonic and evil influence in this world. And we just have to pray the blood of Jesus, surround, invite the presence of holy angels, beloved by God, who love God above all things, to surround you, fly on wings of angels, do all you have to do. And they show up. They always are faithful. They always come. And the blood of Jesus is the most powerful weapon we have. And you just loosen it from somebody, bind it, and cast it free, and it can't come back. And we do have that power and authority. So any average person listening to this broadcast now, know that you have that authority. God gave it to us. If anyone needs prayer, they can email me at blissburger. It's B-L-I-S-S. Burger, B-U-R-G-E-R, blissburger@gmail.com. It is that because it was a nickname for my son, so he registered for me. So, but I'm happy to pray for anyone that needs prayer.
That's so kind of
thank you.
blissburger@gmail.com.
And thank you for having Jeannie in the book on your show, because it's a wonderful testimony, and there's wonderful stories of people and what they've accomplished and what they're doing in this book. It's powerful. And
it sure is powerful. They're about to pull the plug. We went over past 12, but I want to thank all of you for coming on. Thank all of you for listening. By the way, this is in good in perpetuity. You can all share this link anytime after this. Someone that didn't hear it live can now hear it. And as was said earlier, God is love. What the world needs now is love. There's a story about Smith Wigglesworth, and the devil appears to him in the middle of the night, and he wakes up and says, "Oh, it's only you." And that's the best attitude to have towards Satan. So when people sent me the thing about 12 Satanists might have a get-together on 6-6-16, and they were worked up about it, I thought, you know, I wasn't bothered for 1 second about it, because Colossians 2 says that Jesus Christ has triumphed over evil and has demolished the devil, has made a complete show of it. And, you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, you know, Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. And evil is like a little fly compared to the power of the unconditional love of God.
It's 6-6-16 today. Let's go out and find those Satanists.
Yeah. you know, I met some of them, and they thought they would intimidate me. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invoke the power of the Holy Spirit on you. And this is in the film Quest for Truth, which is on Amazon. It's a documentary about our healing ministry, and you can see it in there. And I invoked the power of the Holy Spirit. They had on all their satanic symbols, and they began to violently shake under the power, and they gave their lives to the Lord. They said, we don't have near the power that you have.
I met a couple of bikers put Satan is Lord on the back of their thing, and I said, why don't you serve the winner instead of the loser?
Oh, that's a good response now. Well, love does win in the end. We don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
The accusation.
Thank you for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live.